Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Redemptive Works of God, as we pick up in the 77th Psalm, beginning with verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Psalm 77 is a psalm that is quite parallel to Psalm 73 in its thought and progression. He makes a declaration of God in a positive way, but then he lapses into the depths of despair, despondency, discouragement, depression. But then, again, looking at things from a different perspective, from the divine perspective, he has confidence, he gains confidence, and he ends with his declarations of confidence and praise in God. So let's follow it in 77 as he said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. God answers prayer. This is the basic affirmation of the psalm. And we know that this is true, that the basic thrust for incentive to pray is the fact that God answers prayer. Now, I am thankful that God is not limited to my ways. You know, so many times when I'm facing a problem, I get it all figured out. Yep. If God will just do this and this and this, then it'll come together here and it'll be great. And I've got the whole thing doped out, you know. All of my problems are going to be over. Oh, God, let him draw my number now. Let that thing pop out of the computer, Lord. The one that they sent me, that special card that I got. Lord, you know, and I am praying now, direction prayers rather than direct prayer. You see, I'm directing God how to do it because I've got it all figured out. And then the 15th passes and I don't get any call. God, how could you let me down? What am I going to do now? Lord, this was the last hope. My debts are still here. God didn't come through. I had fasted and prayed that I might win. But God has a completely different way to work out the problem. And suddenly here, you know, it comes along and I say, wow, that wasn't as complex as I thought it was. Now, how could God think of that? Why didn't I think of that? That was so simple. What a simple solution. You know, and the way God works is I've got this whole complex thing worked out, you know, and God's got to walk through this maze, and if he makes it through the end, then, you know, I'll get the reward. But, man, he doesn't always follow my complex methods, and he has usually such a much more simple way of doing things. That our prayers need to be direct prayers. Just lay the need before the Lord and leave it at that. When I remembered God, I was troubled, and I complained. Yes, I have at that. Have you ever complained to God? You know what that is about? I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed. It now became a spiritual problem. Oftentimes, these things can turn into real spiritual problems in your life. That endeavor by man with his finite mind to understand the infinite God. And I am running up against all of these imponderables. The walls, and I just can't understand what God is doing. And I just can't understand this infinite God. And I can't understand the ways of the infinite God. Because we are looking at the situation from a different perspective. I'm looking at it from my temporal, material perspective, how it's going to affect me now, and God is looking at it from the eternal perspective, how it's going to affect me eternally. And because we're looking at the issues from a different perspective, I cannot understand the eternal plan that God is working out because I'm so interested in my temporary comfort, temporary convenience. And why tarry ye, Lord, you know, and let's get things going, God. You may have eternity, but I don't, you know. He began to lose sleep. His eyes in the night just wide open, looking at the ceiling. You hold my eyes waking, so I am troubled. And finally, I can't even talk about it. Getting to the place where you can't even talk about the issues anymore. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Now he's beginning to reflect on the past. What God has revealed of himself to the fathers. And I call to remembrance my song in the night, and I commune with my own heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. This is the turnaround point. He had lapsed into the depths of despair. His spirit is just troubled, overwhelmed. He can't sleep. He can't even talk about it. Coming to the bottom, things begin to change. Now he began to ask a series of questions concerning God in which he took it to the absurd. Will God cast off forever? Of course, we know he won't. Will he be favorable no more? Has God ended his favors? Has he quit working? Has God abandoned his creation? Sometimes we're prone to think that, aren't we, when we look around and see the conditions that are going on. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Will he never again be merciful? Do his promises fail? Are the promises of God something that you can't trust anymore? Has God failed to keep his word? Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Has he changed his nature? Has his anger triumphed over his mercy? And all of these are sort of rhetorical type of questions that immediately call for a no. Of course not. No, that's foolish. That's stupid to think that. And so I said, this is my weakness or infirmity. It isn't God's problem. This is my problem. The problem isn't on God's side of the wall. The problem is on my side of the wall. And so again, I will remember the years of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember the wonders of old. I will remember the past. And there's where the scripture comes in as I read of God's faithfulness to his word, to his people. And I read of the work of God amongst his people, the delivering hand of God, when it seemed like there was no hope at all. I will meditate also on all of your work, and I will talk of your doings. And so as he turns around, rather than looking at God now in a negative light, he is beginning to look at God in a positive light. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. You have with your arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. So he turns things around and he sees the power of God, the glory of God, the works of God, and he sees God in a positive light. Be careful when you start looking at God in a negative light. That's the trick of the enemy to take you to the bottom. I don't think God really cares about me. I don't think God is interested in me at all. I don't think God loves me anymore. I think that God's forsaken me and all. And you see, you're looking at God in this negative light. And man, talk about despair. That'll take you to the bottom. But we need to look at God in a positive light. Surely there is no God as great as our God. He does such marvelous things. He has manifested his strength to his people. And so he begins to talk the waters, that is the waters of the Red Sea, when the children of Israel had come and they seemed to be trapped. There was no way out. The Egyptians were behind them, the sea in front of them, and the hills of Pihahiroth beside them. They're in this valley and they were trapped. But the waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee, and they were afraid. And the depths were also troubled. He speaks of this now in a very poetic, beautiful way. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also went abroad. The voice of your thunder was in the heaven, and the lightnings, they lighted the world. And the earth trembled and shook. Your way is in the sea. Your path is in the great waters. And your footsteps are not known, for you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You brought them through. Psalm 78 is the first of what they call the historic psalms. Psalmist said, I'm going to give you a parable, but really he is going to give to you now a review of the history of the nation in this psalm in a poetic form. He's going to follow the history of the nation from the beginning of it being a nation up until that present time, which was the time of David's reign. In the book of Acts, when Stephen was brought before the council, we find that Stephen, in his defense, gave to them a preview of their history. It was very important to the Jew to understand their history as it related to God and to look back and see how God relates to the historic events of a nation is an important thing. To see how that when that nation served and honored God, they were blessed of God and prospered of God. But when that nation turned against God, God delivered them into the hands of their enemies, and thus was the case of Israel. When they followed after God, God blessed them. When they followed after the flesh and turned from God, then they experienced the judgments of God. And so, as the psalmist is looking over their history, he sees it as it relates to God. And so he calls to the people to give ear, to listen to his Torah, which is literally teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, calling them to take consideration of this now. For I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, the things which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. For the most part, The stories were passed down by word of mouth from generation to generation. I'm going to tell you the things that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We've got to pass the truth on to the next generation. And that is always the challenge of every generation. To pass the truth of God on to the next generation. That is our calling, that is our responsibility, and if we fail to do so, the nation is destined to go down the tube. We can't let our children grow up in a godless society. It is important, is it incumbent upon us to somehow communicate God's truth to the next generation if we're going to survive. So the imperative, really, of passing on the truth of God to the next generation. We have seen the work of God here at Calvary Chapel in a very unique and special way. And we are very grateful for what God has done. We can look across the country and see hundreds of pulpits in the greatest churches in the United States being filled by people who were once those teenagers that came through our doors and found Christ here. And God has certainly done a remarkable work as the church was able to communicate to them the truths of God, and they caught hold of the truth, and they went out to spread the truth. But that's what it's all about. Communicating the truth of God to the next generation so that we pass it on. We have heard and we have known because our fathers have told us. We will not hide these truths from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, His wonderful works that He has done. We need to teach the kids to praise the Lord for His marvelous works, for His strength, for the things that God has done. For He established a witness in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, and He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. God, when He gave the law, commanded them to pass it on to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children. The perpetuation of the truth of God from generation to generation to generation. And thus it is our responsibility, our generation, to pass it on to the next generation. And if we fail, chaos. Now the purpose of this passing on these truths of God is that they might set their hope in God. Oh my! People are setting their hope in so many empty things. And everybody is saying, oh, peace and safety, wonderful, wonderful. But we know that the Bible says, beware when they say peace and safety, for then comes sudden destruction. But that they might not have their hope in this world system, even in democracy, but they've got to set their hope in God. And they not forget the works of God, but they keep His commandments. I think that it is absolutely criminal what the Supreme Court has done to our school system in the ruling out of God from the school curriculum, declaring that it is not lawful to put the Ten Commandments up on the wall of a classroom, even though it is on the walls of the Supreme Court building. Something's wrong. But you see, Satan would keep us from passing it to the next generation. And since those doors are closed, we've got to find ways to pass the truth on to this generation. Because we don't want them to forget the works of God. We want them to keep His commandments. That they might not be as their fathers, who were stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And we saw the effects and the results of that generation of their fathers, the disaster that came of it. And so the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, they turned back in the day of battle. Ephraim was the greatest of the tribes. And yet, because they did not keep the law of God, there was a weakness from a moral standpoint. And thus, they turned back in the day of battle. They turned their backs to their enemies. They were defeated. We see a parallel, and there is an association between a nation's relationship with God and their power as a nation.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study of the Psalms in our next lesson, as we continue with The Kindness of God. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse venture through the Psalms. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing comments.
May the Lord bless you and keep His hand upon you, guide you with His counsels, and keep you in His strength. May you rest upon Him, and may you experience His strength and His love. And may God help you to really come into a full understanding and knowledge, where it isn't just hearing Him with the hearing of the ear, but it's really coming to apprehend, to see God, to see the truth of God. That you might be strengthened, knowing that God is with you and shall sustain you as His child.
Have you ever thought, why should I share my faith? And who's really going to listen anyway? Well, I'm here to encourage you to just do it. As we look around at our culture, the time has never been more urgent. And it's critical we get the gospel out there in these last days to a generation that has never heard about Jesus. That's why I'd like to tell you about a book called Basics to Go by Eddie Berry. Basics to Go emphasizes the importance of how simple sharing the gospel really can be. If you've ever been timid or fearful in sharing your faith, or stuck on how to witness to someone who's not a Christian. Basics to Go teaches you how. Prayerfully, sharing your faith will not be a once-in-a-lifetime event, but an everyday lifestyle. To order your copy of the book, Basics to Go, in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org to read a preview of the book or to download it in an ebook format. That's thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
I wonder how often we put things in a category bad and conclude that that means that God is really not blessing us, that God somehow is against us and He is hurting us, that He doesn't love us as He once did, when in reality the Bible says there's a time and a purpose to everything that God is doing.
It's all under control. Just because something doesn't happen in our time doesn't mean that we should not trust God, that He is working His will in our lives. David Hocking has more for us on this coming up here on Hope for Today. Hi, welcome. You're listening to Hope for Today, and this is the Bible teaching ministry of David Hocking. I'm Dave Dino. It is here you get the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. And we're in the middle of David's message from the Bible, from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 15. This is titled A Time for Everything. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's a message that's part of our series here in the book of Ecclesiastes. And just because things don't happen when or the way that you and I want them to in our lives doesn't mean that God hates us. In fact, it means that He loves us and He cares about us. He gives us what we need when we need it, and He does so all to His glory. David has more on this coming up. First, though, a reminder about our website, davidhocking.org. We have archives of great articles from around the world. Catch messages in this series you've missed, and the info you need to join us this year on our tour of Israel. It's happening October 15th through the 29th. That info and more is available. We've got it for you over at davidhocking.org. Now, David's ready to head into day two of his message from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 15. This is titled A Time for Everything. David?
God knows everything. He's in providential control. And the writer here, Solomon, is leading us step by step to some definite conclusions that all of us need to apply in our lives but frequently don't. The fact is, whether you like this or not, God has a time and a reason and a purpose and a season for everything. And that definitely, if I've got to acknowledge that that's true, that He has a reason for all that happens in my life, then that suggests, has to suggest, theologically, logically, philosophically, it has to suggest that He is in control. Doesn't matter what you think about it, it has to be true. You know, David said in Psalm 31:5, "My times are in Your hand." How true that is. But there's a second thing that I believe this suggests. It not only suggests that God is in control, which is a matter of the providence of God, but it suggests that God has a specific purpose behind all that happens. And that, of course, would deal with the purpose of God. Now, is that so? I know a lot of people that say this. In fact, it's in plenty of books if you want to read in this subject. But they'll say something like this. Well, God has overall, catchword, overall purposes. But you can't say He has a specific purpose. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. The Bible teaches that God has a purpose for everything. He does whatever He pleases, and His purpose is behind everything. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says that. You see, the purpose of God behind everything is clearly taught over and over again. Let's take Joseph, for example. Here he is in Egypt. The brothers have really done him in to put him in Egypt. You remember the whole story. And throwing him down in the pit and selling him to slavery. Now come to Genesis 50 when Joseph finally reveals himself to his brothers who think he's a monarch of Egypt, don't know who he really is. And when they finally find out, they're scared to death that Joseph now is going to kill them. And Joseph says in a classic statement on the sovereign control and purpose of God, he says in Genesis 50, verse 20, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." You see, God even takes the wrath of men to praise His name. God can raise up a Pharaoh, as rebellious and stubborn and awful as he was, and he can glorify and magnify His name throughout all the earth. God is not limited by anything or anybody. God is in absolute control of all things. He has a purpose behind everything that's happening. If you don't like the story of Joseph, consider Esther for a moment. Esther, that fantastic story of a Jewish gal who became the queen to a Persian monarch. And she got this message from Uncle Mordecai. He said, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And as the story proves, all of Esther is a commentary on the proper timing of God, how God placed somebody in an unusual position, in an unusual relationship that many people would have questioned and said, that, hey, that's not going to work. But God placed her there because He had some purpose in mind in relation to the people of Israel, and she literally saved the Jewish people from destruction. Who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows whether this day in your life is a turning point in some area you don't even see now? God has a purpose for all things. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 16. Let's just see some New Testament examples of this. I think too many times when things don't go well for us, we immediately interpret it as being God's against us, things aren't turning out well, I'm not liked or appreciated, I'm not accepted, God must be angry with me. You know, the things that run through your mind when something doesn't go well for you. And yet the Bible teaches that God has a reason, a purpose behind everything that's happening. David said in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He lays them out, blow by blow, step by step, moment by moment. They're all ordered by God. Now look at Acts 16 as an example of how the purpose of God is being fulfilled in the changing circumstances of life. Verse 6, Paul and Silas. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now here's something they wanted to do, and they couldn't do it. You say, well, how did that happen? We don't know. Maybe it was a detour sign. Maybe it was bad weather. We don't know. But we say that it was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. God was working in it. It says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, another northern region in modern Turkey today. But the Spirit did not permit them. How or through what circumstances? We don't know. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, the only way they could have gone. So they're coming over now on the western shore. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now look at that. Here were some changing circumstances. God stopped him from doing something. Now he could have got discouraged and say, the Lord's against me, the will of God's not working in my life, everything's turning bad. Or he could have said, as he did, hey, the Lord knows what he's doing. God stopped us here. There's going to be something else. And he concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel in Macedonia and Achaia, modern Greece and Yugoslavia today. Interesting, isn't it? I wonder how often we put things in a category bad and conclude that that means that God is really not blessing us, that God somehow is against us and he is hurting us, that he doesn't love us as he once did, when in reality the Bible says there's a time and a purpose to everything that God is doing. This is very important to understand. Over in chapter 17 of Acts, look at verse 26. Chapter 17 of Acts. Here Paul is preaching to a secular crowd at Athens on Mars Hill at the Areopagus. And in Acts 17, verse 26, he lays this out and says, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Now, before you go on any further, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that God has predetermined exactly how long a nation will be in power and exactly how much geography they're going to conquer? That's what Paul said on Mars Hill at Athens to a secular crowd. Do you believe that? That means however long a certain government or nation is going to be in power, however much territory they're ever going to conquer, God has already predetermined it. You tell me God's not involved in the affairs of men? Now, why does he do this? Why has he divided people up like this? Why has he worked through history with nations? And what is his plan? Verse 27 shows you that he has a purpose behind everything, so that they should seek the Lord, in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. That's interesting. The changing structure of nations even is a part of God's plan to cause those nations to turn to him and to repent and to believe in him. You see, God has a purpose in everything that he is doing. 2 Peter 3:9 says that we should not count the Lord delaying the promise of his coming as just slackness on God's part. But the Bible says he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I could ask the question, well, God, if you got such a great purpose and you're going to come again, then why don't you come now? And the answer is God is delaying this not because he's not involved. He has an exact time schedule in which Jesus Christ is going to come again. Why is he delaying it? And the writer says, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He knows exactly how many people are going to come to repentance. All that are going to come to repentance are going to come to repentance before the Lord himself comes. All of this, friends, is going to have serious implications in our life if we really believe it. Some of you right now are kind of generally agreeing, but maybe not facing the specific application that Solomon is leading to. Do you really acknowledge that God has a reason for all that happens? If you do, then that suggests his providence, that he's really in control of everything. And it suggests his purpose, that he really has a basic reason behind it all. And by the way, it suggests a third thing. It suggests also that God can cause things to happen whenever he wants. So it involves his power, not only his providence, his control. It involves his purpose, his reasons, and it also involves his power. He obviously, if that is true, can cause anything to happen at any time he wants to whomever he wants. Now that's an interesting thing. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 18. Let's just take a look at that particular matter. Genesis chapter 18. Can God cause anything to happen at any time he wants to whomever he wants to? And the answer is clearly yes in the Scriptures. And thus we again must acknowledge that God has a reason for all that happens in our lives, and he can cause everything to happen whenever he wants to. Genesis 18, you know, one day I was trying to contemplate this and think about it, as I've done frequently, and I began to think about how God must manage people on a daily basis. For instance, traffic. I got to think, I know you probably think I'm weird here, but you know, my mind's flipping up there. I'm trying to see what God sees, and I'm thinking of managing traffic, that it must be tougher in some cities of the world for God's management than it is in others. Because you can imagine how if he's got a purpose for everybody, how he's got to be, you know, working everything out so that it happens. See, if John over here's got to have an accident, he's got to have a reason why the other guy who was in there to have an accident had it, and why another guy that was behind him didn't, because he has something else for him tomorrow. You following? Hey, I don't know if you think like this, but maybe you ought to. Do you believe that God literally is behind everything that's happening? Most people don't. They got him like Thomas Jefferson as a deist. He sort of winds the thing up and lets it run down. He really stays out of our way. Is that true? Is God involved in the affairs of our life, or isn't he, one way or another? This is very important to understand. In Genesis 18, 13, and 14, you know, Abraham and Sarah, what a story, 99 and 89. God tells them they're going to have a kid. You'd laugh too. Here's what they said. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, look at the timing again, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You tell me God isn't involved? That tells me God can cause things to happen whenever he wants to, even things that from a human point of view seem unbelievable to us. How could that happen? But God caused it to happen. Turn, please, to Job chapter 42. Job, right before Psalms. And look at chapter 42. That God can cause things to happen whenever he wants to. Job 42 and verse 2. Here Job is answering the Lord after the Lord has given him a great lesson on his power, on his involvement in all things, and on what he can do. And Job says this, verse 2. I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Do you believe that? Boy, God sure liked what he said. He blessed him abundantly after he finished this little speech. I wonder, do you do the same? Do we honor and worship the Lord like that? Do we say, Lord, I know you can do everything, and I know that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. That's what I call confidence in a God who's involved in the affairs of men. I may not understand all of this, but I know the Bible clearly teaches it. Turn, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Here's one that we love to quote, but it's rooted in the fact that God's power can do anything. And it has enormous effects upon us. Isaiah chapter 40, and look at verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Concerning the greatness of God and His power, and that He can cause anything to happen whenever He wants. Verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, which is a delight to every old person. And the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, it has practical application in my life if I really believe that God can do anything, that He can cause anything to happen whenever He wants. He's got power. He never gets tired, never fails, and He can provide power anytime He wants to. God's in absolute control. In Daniel 2, it tells us that He puts up kings and takes them down. He's even in control of times and seasons, and the Bible even says He changes them whenever He wants to. I love it when He messes up the weatherman. And if you notice that carefully, He does that frequently. The Bible says He takes fire and wind and earthquake and snow, fulfilling His word. He loves to do whatever He wants to do, and He changes it frequently. Man gets to where he thinks he knows how certain things are going to happen, and God messes it all up. It's interesting, isn't it? I wonder how much of this we really believe. There's a great quote by a writer of long ago, Merle Dobein. In looking at Ecclesiastes 3, he said, "Those revolutions which in their progress precipitate dynasties and nations to the dust, those heaps of ruin which we meet with in the sands of the desert, those majestic remains which the field of human history offers to our reflection, do they not testify aloud to the truth that God is in history?" Arthur Gibbon, seated on the ancient Capitol and contemplating its noble ruins, acknowledged the intervention of a superior destiny. He saw those ruins, and he said he felt its presence. Wherever his eye turned, it met him. That shadow of a mysterious power reappeared from behind every ruin in Rome. He conceived the project of depicting its operation in the disorganization, the decline, and the corruption of that power of Rome which had enslaved the nations of the world. And shall not that mighty hand which this man of admirable genius discovered among the scattered monuments of Romulus and of Marcus Aurelius, the busts of Cicero and Virgil, Trajan's trophies and Pompey's horses, be confessed by us also as the hand of our God? See, the truth is, people, all that we see in the world, the past civilizations of history, the nations of the world, the sequence of time and events, all point to one thing. God is in control. He's doing something that most people do not recognize or want to believe. We must acknowledge that God has a reason for all that happens in our lives.
That is amazing. Everything that has happened to you, good or bad, has a reason. It isn't chaos. It isn't random cruelty. It is God ordering and directing your life to make you who He wants you to be and to accomplish His will. Pretty incredible, wouldn't you say? David, thank you so much. David wraps up our time together coming up after the break, so keep it here at Hope for Today. Before that, though, can I ask you a quick question? Have you noticed the confusion there is in the world today about Israel? I especially notice it in the media. I mean, there's a lot of anti-Semitism running rampant right there. Here at Hope for Today, we really want you to be informed about what is really happening in Israel. That's why this month, by popular demand, we're extending our latest resource package by making sure that you get what the Bible answers about Israel. This package is called Prophecy, Answering the Confusion About Israel. We had to bring it back and make it available to you again this month. If you miss getting it for yourself, or maybe you'd like to now get a copy of it, the entire package, for a friend of yours, you can still do so. You're going to get 24 messages on two MP3 CDs. Message titles here include What Will Happen to Israel, What's Special About Israel, The Coming War Against Israel, and Israel and the City of David. Again, those are just a few of the titles from this month's jam-packed resource package. And normally, this would run you $120, but this month, again, we're making it available to you for only $25 plus shipping and a bit of tax if you're in California. And you can order right now by calling us at 1-800-75-BIBLE, 24253. Are you in Canada? Well, you can order by calling us at 1-888-75-BIBLE. Or listen to this. Now you can download this package from our website, davidhocking.org. As I promised, David is back. He's going to wrap up our time together. Here he is. David?
Well, we're in Ecclesiastes 3. I like to say that because some of us really are in it. We're asking, why are the things happening in my life that are happening as they are? And sometimes they're very difficult. They don't make sense. And we wonder if God's in this or not. Well, that's what Ecclesiastes 3 is all about. We need to appreciate that whatever happens in terms of our time on earth, this chapter argues that it is a gift from God. If He's in control and He knows all the days of my life, I need to enjoy it from His point of view. That will affect my attitudes as well as my actions. And I need to apply the facts that are coming to me and I'm experiencing to my attitude towards God. And that's what we are seeing here. We are to fear God and understand that that respect and adoration and worship of Him is fundamental to knowing His peace in the midst of changing circumstances, and life is like that. I think also we have to face the fact that chapter 3 tells us God requires an account. We need to enjoy it, but we need to remember God's going to hold us accountable for what we do in our lives. So keep that clear. And I hope that you will get our commentary. I think it's very, very helpful. There are a lot of questions that you have that are answered in our commentary. And the title of it is Life Worth Living? We wanted you to know about the 17th of August. That's a Saturday night. And we're going to have a special evening, an African outreach, sharing the ministry of Grace Bible Mission. It's going to be on Saturday night at 7 p.m. at Calvary Chapel in Tustin. There are some big challenges to reaching people in Africa today. We're going to talk about that. There's a lot of false teaching, bad doctrine, and outright heresy in Africa, just as there is here in North America. But they're starving there for the Word of God, the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. So we're training pastors to be expository teachers of God's Word. It's a 5-year program, and it is wonderful to see what God is doing through these African men. Don't miss being with us. That's August 17th, Saturday night, 7 o'clock, at Calvary Chapel in Tustin. There's no cost. Just come on by and see us and rejoice in the Lord. And plan to be with us for our next broadcast.
Thank you, David. Remember, you can connect with us by calling 1-800-75-BIBLE, 1-800-75-24253. And remember, in Canada, it's 1-888-75-BIBLE. Find information at davidhocking.org.
Again, you can get that commentary for $15 plus shipping and a bit of tax if you're in California. Order the commentary or any of our resources online at davidhocking.org. Coming up next week, David will head into the last part of his message, A Time for Everything, and he'll also bring us his next message, A Time for Judgment. It's all coming your way next week here at Hope for Today. Bye-bye now.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo. I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
Your faithful.
All is a big little word, isn't it? All my heart. But that's exactly what God is looking for. And I have to tell you that the words of this song are the product of private conversation and the attempt, the struggle to articulate how deeply I want that all relationship with Him. The more I read His Word, the more I realize that that's exactly what He's looking for. What He's looking for is what will fulfill my deepest longings, because I long in the core of me to be everything I'm meant to be. To have the full reason for existing, to have the full fulfillment of a life accomplishing what my life is supposed to accomplish. But as I read His Word, I realize that that comes from one thing. And the portal to that one thing is the hard part. It's the struggle. Not just to understand, because understanding it is easy enough, but actually wanting to let go of who I think I am and who I've been programmed to be all of my life, so that I can acquire this thing that will put a smile on God's face, my Creator, my eternal Father, His life, His Word, His purpose, His intent and motivation, all put together in the flesh and blood person of His Son, Yeshua, Jesus, Yesu. You could fill in maybe 100 other languages saying His name. It doesn't matter what language you use, it matters that you call His name, because He is that portal. And to get the highest that we can imagine, by His own words, we know that we have to bow to the lowest shelf. There's no other way. He is the only way to accomplish that.
That sounds like a good deal.
It's keeping it lit.
That's Dallas Song playing the guitar. Dang me.
Dang me. Dang me. The auditory room. Dang me. I'm the highest tree.
Oh, won't you fool me? I'm actually in the woods of eastern Texas right now with a longtime friend, Dallas Holm. And I am so happy to see him again, because it's like eons between times that we've been together. But I'm here for a few things, and he and his wife, Linda, just decided, okay, these people look like they need a bed to sleep in. And so they took us home after the concert last night that we did in Tyler, and even fed us breakfast. It was amazing. Dallas is one of probably the most famous people I know. And he has been where the action's at in so many situations, like with the Dave Wilkerson Crusades and even his own band situations, and the ministry that he's done personally have always been a little bit of a seismic event for the kingdom, because of an element that I think I'd like to talk with Dallas about and get him to articulate today. But right now, just
literally up our alley.
Oh, man. What a beautiful place you got here in the woods. I'll never get back to town. Anyway, Dallas, what... and join us.